Theon Govender, East Coast Radio.
It's KZN's number one hit music station. Good to have Butch James with us via the telephone. Beauty of technology. Great to be with you on East Coast Radio. Welcome to the show, Butch.
Yeah, thanks, Dion. It's good to be on the show. Pity I can't be in studio there to see you again, but yeah, good to chat again.
Awesome stuff. Now, Chasing the Sun 2. Now, I'm sure most rugby fans have seen the first season, and it was epic. And I have a few questions, and I'm sure a lot of fans would also like these questions answered. So let's go through a few, and hopefully you can give me honest answers.
I'll try my best.
Okay, awesome. Now, what has been your favorite part of Chasing the Sun 2 so far, and which moment are you looking forward to seeing on the screen?
Personally, I think I like to get to know the players and the individuals a bit more. So I think for me, it's probably been when the likes of Abongi goes on his own personal journey, as well as Kurtley Arendse. You know, I think Kurtley Arendse, one of my favorite players in the Springbok team and one of my heroes. So to see how he was almost going to give up rugby and go work in the butchery, and then things worked out for him, you know. So I think those sort of stories are what really get me going, and why I'm glued to the TV when Chasing the Sun is on.
Yeah. Season one captured a lot of emotion of the players. And yeah. And I think a vital part is, how did the cameras get these moments captured? Please talk us through, how did SuperSport cameras been given all access to the Springboks dressing room, and how has that led to the production of some of the greatest sporting moments, both on and off the field?
Now, I think a lot of credit has to go to the production team. I think they know exactly how to use the camera and get the right timing and the right footage. It's not like they're being followed around and allowing access to 5 or 10 cameramen at a time, you know. So the guys that are doing the job, they're like one camera that's sneakily cruising around and doesn't interfere with the team at all. So yeah, I think a lot of credit's got to go to the production team, the way that they get it to come across and the footage that they do get. It's not easy, and especially being in a team like the Springboks, where they're very secretive and don't allow too much to get involved. So I think, yeah, again, like the production team has been incredible, and just the drama that they're able to create with the footage they get is just incredible.
Wow. In the docuseries, Rossi is seen a lot using a lot of real-life examples to motivate the team. How pivotal was the support from South Africans from a distance, and how does the documentary present itself as a story for South Africa?
Yeah, I think it's really spot on. I think the Springboks, they've always played for the country, and it's always been for the people of the country. I think we actually let out one of our biggest secrets to the All Blacks, because after a game, every now and then you'll invite the opposition into your change room, and All Blacks came in to the Springbok change room when they were led by Richie McCaw, and they obviously were able to look around our change room, and they actually saw who we playing for. And I think we shared a bit too much of exactly what makes us tick, and I think they've tried to take that on a bit. So yeah, I think the whole documentary captures that perfectly and just shows what the Springboks, who they actually play for, and what it means to the Springboks to represent South Africa and play for this every South African out there.
So what has made this group of Springbok players special, and how do you think Chasing the Sun 2 reflects all of this from your side of things?
Yeah, I think obviously winning a back-to-back World Cup makes any rugby player really special, and this group certainly is special. And then I just think that there's a lot of superheroes in this team, and just to see how Rossi handles them and make sure that none of them have got egos and are not too big for the team, I think that's also really important, that message comes across. And you can see that in this team. It's a special bunch of human beings in this team, and they're all great human beings, first of all, and then second of all, they're unbelievable rugby players. So yeah, I think that makes anyone really special.
Yeah, can't wait to see the final product. But I've got one more question for you. And
yeah.
With Chasing the Sun 2 being yet another addition to SuperSport's carousel of world-class sports documentaries, why do you think it is important to keep making this? And what do you think the legacy of Chasing the Sun 2 will be?
Yeah, I just think that it's a great way to promote the sport, rugby. I think, obviously, there's not too many youngsters that get to watch it because of the language that gets thrown around. But
yeah,
I think it just promotes the game, and it's just a lovely story every time it gets told, you know, and we all glued to it, from us all the way to our mom the dads and our grannies and grandpas, and it's a story that makes you feel good at the end of it. And I think sport just has a wonderful power to change the world and especially change South Africa. So I think that's what keeps us glued to the TV, and it's just a wonderful documentary.
Yeah, Chasing the Sun 2, I'm sure it will be on catch up for those of you that missed it or will miss it. I'm talking in future tense if you're listening to this podcast version or hearing it on the radio. But Butch, thank you for sharing with us, and I'm sure you've inspired many South Africans, supporters, fans, and even future Springbok players alike. Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Dion. It's great to chat again.
Dion Govender, East Coast Radio.